The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, it's July 21st, 2015, if you can believe that. I got to tell you, I'm amazed of how fast the month of July has gone. Well, the whole year. It's unbelievable. But you know what? One good thing, I love fall, and that's when I love to really train. So let's go. We'll start right from the beginning. Dr. Juan's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. He is sponsoring me for Iceland, and my shoulder's feeling better and better. Go out and talk to Dr. Juan. He could set you up on the same regimen, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about this in the next few months. Next, we got Hearts Collision. This is for New York area people, upstate New York. Lori and Alex are good friends of mine. If you know anything, I'm training his son right now. He's doing fabulous, but he owns a body shop, second to none, here in East Greenbush, New York. Call 518-477-7937 or go out to heartscollision.com. I love all this stuff. These are the type of sponsors we want: manliness, strength. You see my boy Alex, he's about 6'4", crashing hammers, torches, and everything for years, man. Then you see a man that's built. So this is what we're talking about, and we're going to be bringing lots more like this onto the show. So go out to heartscollision.com. Let's see. Next, we've got Sorenex, www.sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. As you know, they're sponsoring me, too. They sent me a beautiful diamond bar, which I used yesterday. Phenomenal. You can load that sucker as long as you want. Great knurling. I'd say if you need something like that to work in your power rack or press over your head, give them a call. Tell them I sent you. Next, we have got, this is one of my favorites. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and load the free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. We've got another ebook out there too, Weight Loss Made Easy. Check them out. They're free. Top 10 Ways, like I said, no pictures, nothing glossy, just straight ahead, short paragraphs, make you think, make you go out and work. That's what you're looking for, real results. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download it. Next, we're working on the Winner's Circle. That's going to be 12 modules of everything that I do from the very beginning right through to my love of the power rack. Lots of programs, lots of philosophy, lots of real-world stuff. Once again, simple. Simplicity, it all works. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And the guy that puts it all together is our good friend Chris Bigelow of MonsterDevelopment.com. 800-687-1609. Tell him I sent you. You wait to see what Chris and I got coming up. Wait to see some of the video for the Winner's Circle. Believe me, you're going to love this. And we're going to build a database off this where we're getting everybody involved, whether you buy the product or not. Wait to see what we're going to construct here. This is going to probably be another 6 months to a year the way we're going to do it, but there's not going to be anything else out there like that. You want to talk about content? Wait till you see what we got. And last but not least, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., land on sponsorship. Come on in. Let us work with you. Let's work together for the next 25 years. Right now, ground floor, $300 a month. If you need any type of basically a badging, they call it, or you want your company logo, anything you like in that effect, that genre, Chris can build any of that. Of course, that's an extra fee. But for $300, I'm doing 7 to 12 podcasts a week. You're being read on the front and the end of the show. Sometimes we even make reference to you. And all I can tell you is we'd like to work with you, and you could help us out, and we'd be glad to help you out. Today's Tuesday. On Tuesday, we have a regular guest. Roger's been with me since the very beginning of Motivation and Muscle. I've known Roger since his days of York. Obviously, Roger's helped me out with a safety squat bar. What can I tell you? Roger's been a good friend, good ally with the show, especially now. Today's show, we're going to talk about building big legs. But, you know, go out to Atomic. You know, Roger is the president of Atomic Athletic, atomicathletic.com. You know, hardcore stuff, man. You know, you've heard the stuff I've bought from Roger over the years. Stones, anything in that fashion, man. Anything, especially I've probably got, I think I've got 3 millstones. I've got a couple spheres here. I've got a lot of stuff that we've done business with over the years, especially in York days. So, Raj, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Give everybody just a real quick bio, and let's pop yep. right into this big leg course.
Sure thing. So, I was competing in Olympic lifting in college and through grad school and all that kind of thing, and then got picked up by York Barbell as their export sales manager and Olympic lifting advisor. I was very much a political position where I got to travel to different countries and different states and go to, you know, do things like see the Cuban lifters lift and stuff like that before they were, we had relations with the Cubans. It was amazing. Then I sold equipment after York had been bought out and sold and stuff like that there. And, worked for other companies and then started Atomic Athletic. And, I've studied traditional strength training methodology, both from the Western European tradition, with the strongman thing. Worked with Vic Boff and Smitty at York. And then jumped from there into really studying a lot of the traditions from other cultures, mm-hmm. Okinawa, Basque country, India, that kind of thing. I just love that stuff. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's gotten me to meet some of the most interesting people you can imagine. It's a great thing. And I tell people all the time the same thing that Dr. Bob Sahita, the guy who got me into the sport, who was an Olympic lifter, he was Norbert Szymanski's protege, and, a guy who clean and jerked 200 kilos, that's no small feat right there. He said, you take this seriously, and it will take you unbelievable places that you cannot imagine right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and it has. So, I tell everybody, from the kids that I've trained to master's age athletes in their late 60s and 70s that I've worked with, the same thing. And the ones who take it seriously have, the stories to tell. It's phenomenal. So, yeah, today, one of my favorite topics, build big legs.
Mm-hmm.
I am into squats. I squat every single workout. The question is, what kind of squats am I doing?
Right.
And what are the sets, reps, and weights? It's not a question of, am I going to squat? It's mm-hmm. a question of, how am I going to squat? So, that being said, there are some things that you have to take into account if you're doing lots of squats. And, I, in fact, that's been a bulletin title at least once, just lots of squats.
This is interesting because you know, we've always had the not you and I.
Yeah.
But the argument always is going to go deadlifting or squat. Deadlifting or squat. Well, I'm a better deadlifter, so I don't need to squat. Or I don't need to squat as heavy. Or I'm a better squatter, so why the hell should I deadlift? Or if I deadlift, you know, how do I work that in? And this is I know we're keen on squats, but this is going to be something the audience is going to fire emails off to me and say, okay, it's just like I stated. Well, I'm a better deadlifter. Okay, I'm a better squatter. So how do – I mean, I don't know if we want to even go there today. We could always go another time. But, I'm sure you hear this constantly with your business too. You know, people are calling you. All right, I want a bar. You know, I want a good deadlifting bar, or I want a trap bar from you, or I want you to tell me what I'm going to need for a good bar to squat, you know, whether it's a York or an Aliko or whatever you want to deal with, okay? So you and I obviously have a big love for squats. There's no doubt about it. We share that. Now, do I like deadlifting? I love it, but I'm a squatter. I love to squat, and I'll tell you the main reason. I love feeling something on my spine all the time, all right? I like that feeling of heavy, all right? So if people present something like that to you, and, you know, everyone knows Roger's an Olympic lifter, so a lot of times they favor front squats too, which are exceptional. How do you tell somebody? How do you go about that? And it doesn't have to be something big and long, but how do you identify that and then tell them, well, this is what I like to do here?
Actually, that's a really simple answer cool. For me. Squats, I see as a full range of motion movement.
Yep.
Deadlifts, when it comes to leg work, are a partial range of motion movement.
Okay. Okay.
And so
go. So give us a little. Go deeper with that then.
Yeah.
I like that.
So
go.
If you want to, you know, when you're doing partial range of motion movements.
Yeah. Yep.
To my way of thinking, that's not the whole workout.
Okay.
So if I'm going to deadlift,
yep.
I'm going to squat the same workout.
Okay.
Now, so like when I say I squat every single workout,
mm-hmm.
I do some kind of a squat every single workout.
Okay.
Now, if I really thought about it and expanded my definition of deadlifting, like
yep.
I do with squats, you could make the argument that I deadlift every workout too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that everything's a deep dive for me. I actually prepare for these shows, right? I have
yep.
this giant flow chart on my desk at the top, build big legs. And the first question that a person has to address is free weights or machines.
Right.
Well, if you're going to do the machine route, which is not my favorite thing,
right.
And for one basic reason that is very easy to sum up, when I got into taking my lifting seriously, and I was an athlete through high school and started lifting in technically, I think, a sixth grade at home with my dad. But when I started taking lifting seriously, machines were the big thing that you saw everywhere. It was in
sure.
all the magazines. It was in all the PR. Nautilus was king at that time.
Yep.
Well, but there were lots of Nautilus-like things and lots of new ideas, and companies like Cybex and Life Fitness were coming along, all that kind of stuff, and Hammer Strength and so on and so forth. Here's what I quickly realized. I'm 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reality, certainly at that time, it's not as bad today, but the reality at that time is that almost all of the machines were designed by and for professional athletes. That means that if you're going for the money athletes,
yep.
with football being the biggest, because almost every high school strength coach is a football person.
Yep.
Okay? And definitely. People can argue left and right, well, at my school, it's the wrestling coach. At my school, no. Go to any strength coaching event, and you will see that it's built around football. If it's built around football, the machines are not designed for men who are 5 foot three. The biomechanics just aren't there. Even today, I go in, and if a machine adjusts to fit me, let's say I'm on the road. I have to go to a commercial gym for my workout that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm examining somebody's gym, and they say, hey, work out at my gym. Great. You know, that's my opportunity to look at some equipment that I would not normally use. Very rarely do I find machines where the biomechanics are right for me. Now, for the female athletes who listen to this show, odds are that includes you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was at York Barbell, they used me as the model for the average woman
mm-hmm.
when they were working on the machines.
Sure.
And the reason is because, one, I understood how things were supposed to feel, and I could communicate that, you know, mm-hmm. as a professional in the industry. But essentially, my biomechanics were pretty close to the average woman.
Right.
But think about what I just said. They've got a man telling the designers how a female athlete is feeling. So, was really cutting edge at the time. No other company out there that I know of had a 5 foot three competitive lifter working directly on a daily basis with designers for equipment.
So we're talking mainly the machines. We're talking like a hack squat, leg press, things of that nature, right?
You know, there are a million variations on squat machines today. You've got your leg extensions, your leg curls, your leg presses, even the cable units and, you know, the rotary hip machines. You've got all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you know something, the whole point is when we're talking big legs, you know.
Nobody gets big legs without real barbell squats.
There you go.
All right.
So let's get into some of your squat variations, man. Let's punch the ticket here, good.
All right. For me, the big daddy of them all is, of course, the back squat.
Yep.
There are two variations on it, essentially, aside from limited ranges of motion and that sort of thing. You've got the Olympic lifters back squat and the power lifters back squat. Okay?
Yep. Yep.
The power lifters back squat is, if you look at the way it's actually done in most contests, it's actually a hip and back lift.
Yep.
Okay? They use a much wider foot positioning than an Olympic lifter.
Mm-hmm.
And the hips do not go down as far. So,
right.
And that's partially due to the fact that they've got a wider foot stance. But you've got a different rule system that they're working with for the competitive guys. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Olympic lifters have technically, and I'm talking about a rules perspective, no need to do back squats whatsoever.
Nope.
And in fact, Naeem Suleimanoglu, the pocket Hercules, four-time Olympian.
Yep.
I understand by the time he was done with his second Olympics, he quit back squatting.
Remember he hurt his back real bad and he didn't think he'd ever come back and he pulled it all off and won 1-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Different classes, everything. He was by far, pocket Hercules.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And if you look at the big Russian.
Chermanko?
No, not Chermenko. My brain is
going. Not Alex.
Yeah,
not
Alexiev. Alexiev quit squatting by the late 70s. And he was doing – now, he was doing extremely heavy step-ups instead. But they say that Alexiev could do almost a 1,200-pound back squat Olympic lifter style.
I read that before.
Yeah. So is the power lifter way of doing squats the only way of doing it? Heck no.
No. High bar to me is the real stroke of strength, man. You know, you come in and shrug those big traps and go down. Now, you want to do powerlifting, fine. I don't care. That's great.
Well, and if that's your sport, you need to practice the skill.
Yeah, but the thing is, man, when you see an Olympic squat, you think about this. You know, a 1,200-pound Olympic squat, high up on the traps, bolt upright. Can you imagine what Alexia – well, I don't know. Who knows? Can you imagine what if he ever attempted a powerlifting squat? He'd probably knock off 1,500.
Honestly, my guess is that he probably couldn't do as much.
Maybe not.
And the reason is because
– the mechanics?
Not even the mechanics of it. He hadn't practiced it.
True.
And because there's a skill involved there and – power lifter squat does develop incredible power in the hips and back.
Oh yeah,
it is a very extremely powerful movement. Your legs are going to become extremely powerful. Look at Mark Henry and Shane Hammond.
Absolutely.
Both of those guys came from the world of power lifting and did extremely heavy squatting, set world records in it. I don't know what Mark's world record was, but I believe Shane's was somewhere around maybe 1,020, something like that. I'm fairly sure he was over 1,000 pounds, and he did a suicide style squat, which is why he got identified so quickly for doing Olympic lifting.
Yep.
But in addition to those two variations, I love front squatting.
Absolutely.
Front squatting is, my most common squat. And if an athlete is wondering deadlifts or squats, clean the bar first. do that clean off the floor.
Yep.
And then do your front squats. Almost every Olympic lifting workout that I do, and if I'm at a commercial gym, they might not have the equipment there. If I'm working out at home or whatever, I'm doing clean 5 front squats, clean 5 front squats, and that it has served me very well over the years. But I also love overhead squats with a snatch grip.
Oh yeah.
The overhead squat with a snatch grip is one of the very best ways to develop your upper body.
Yep.
And it's a phenomenal way to train your legs if they're feeling overtrained.
Yep.
If you've been going really heavy with your legs, you do need to cut back in percentage. I do a lot less cutting back in percentages of specific lifts and a lot more of switching to different lifts and staying at an extremely high percentage.
Right.
So, I am never going to do as much with an overhead squat as I do with a back squat. So, if I can hit even, 30% for reps with an overhead squat as I'm doing for a back squat, well, then why go super light with those overhead squats? or why go super light with the back squats is what I mean.
Well, let me
switch
ask
to
you
an
this.
Overhead squat. Hit a very high percentage with the overhead squat instead of doing real light back squats.
Well, talk about overhead squatting. I've had very good success doing this. Obviously, lock the bar over your head and walk distance with it. Phenomenal movement, man. I go up 95 down, 95 back, maybe with, I don't know, say I got even 80 pounds I'm supporting over my head, and anybody will say, well, that's nothing. Walk 95 feet down like that and support that thing stuck right up in the air, okay? And tell me how you feel. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about a conditioning movement. Holy shit, man. I love doing those. I haven't done those in a while. But one thing I
here's a little game.
Okay.
The listeners will, if they don't love this, then there's something wrong with them. That's a fact. Okay.
Yeah.
This is something that Smitty had us do at York.
Yep.
And I know Bill Starr made reference to doing this numerous times. I think Bill was a real fan. So what you've got, you can do it with a single platform and a stopwatch with just two people. But if you've got two platforms and three people, that's the way to go, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, you can do this with either a jerk, and we would use body weight. And you'd say, why would you just jerk body weight overhead? This is why. Or, you know, if you've got guys who can snatch body weight overhead or just pop a snatch up from like a drop snatch or snatch grip jerk from behind the neck, something like that, so you can get it overhead.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got two people, two separate platforms, right? Ideally, you want to have one person associated with that with each lifter, in addition to the timer, okay?
Yep, yep.
Now, you have two people. You have them get it overhead at the same time. You start your stopwatch together.
Yep.
And you have the person associated with each lifter give them directions.
Yep.
And what they do is, keeping that barbell overhead, they start walking roughly the perimeter of the platform, so that if they dump the bar, the bumpers will still hit on the platform and not go off. So, you know, you're walking in a small rectangular movement, right?
Yep.
Forward. Boom, boom, boom. Left. Boom, boom, boom. Backwards. Boom, boom, boom. Right. Boom, boom, boom. And you keep going in that circle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, the two lifters want to be facing each other.
Yeah.
See who wins.
Yeah.
There's a milkshake on the line. And you'd be surprised how intense the fight gets with those lifters. They will be shaking. You will see guys waving back and forth. Their elbows are locked. And, you find out what your weak point is by doing things like that.
Yep.
If you're not going to let go until after the other guy lets go.
Well, that's going to go on for a while. Yeah, I mean, you're talking a while.
We had guys, I remember being in overhead weight walks like that.
Yep.
For, 2 and 3 minutes at a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can vary the weight depending on the skill of the lifter too. We like to go with body weight because, we actually didn't have any heavy weights that we were working with. That really wouldn't be fair. But, if you've got guys in a weight class, go for it, man. You will see some real challenges right there. Sweat just pouring down. And you end up dropping it,
Yep.
Just because of complete failure.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you tell people out there to combine in a workout front squats and back squats together or not? Or keep them separate?
You know what? That's a really good question. Smitty had us keep it separate.
Okay. Why is that, you think?
Well, here's the thing. We did cleans on the same day as our back squats.
Okay.
We did snatches on the same day as our front squats.
I got it.
And the idea was that your snatch day was going to be lighter than your clean day.
Yep.
And it was a way of periodizing your workout in the week. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got a rest on snatch day.
Yep.
For your legs and low back.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you can count doing front squats and snatches and heavy snatch pulls as a rest for your low back.
Yeah. That might be a hard sell.
When you compare it to clean and jerks, heavy clean pulls, and heavy back squats, the weights that you're looking at for each of those three associated lifts, comparing the snatch to the clean, your snatch pull to your clean pull, your front squat to your back squat, then your snatch day was a light day.
Yep. Yep.
And, we would periodize within that. Now, one of the things that Smitty was big on, and so is Vic Boff, so is Fred Lau, so is Norbert Szymanski. This is almost something that you could say was a Detroit method of lifting. But, the guys in Toledo did it. You saw the guys way back when, and even Cincinnati and Cleveland doing this kind of thing. Maybe it's a Midwestern methodology, I don't know. But they would include some bodybuilding. And Tommy Kono, in his first book, he took 3 months off from Olympic lifting every year to bodybuild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because his joints and neuromuscular fibers needed a rest, he figured. Mm-hmm. So you had guys doing things like using the iron boots. At York, they had a pair of iron boots essentially permanently affixed with together with a straight bar through them.
Yep.
For leg extensions, leg curls, and reverse hypers. And people think, reverse hypers. Well, that's, you need a reverse hyper machine. No, you can use iron boots connected. You can do isolateral reverse hypers.
Yep.
And people will say to me, they'll say, well, you're only using 5 pounds on each side of that iron boot for that isolateral reverse hyper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means it's 10 pounds for the added weight. 5 pounds for the boots, so you're up to 15. And then you've got roughly another 5 pounds, depending on the bar and collars you're using. So that's 20 pounds on each foot on the bottom of your foot. The leverage for that, and I've never seen an ankle weight that goes that heavy. I saw one company years ago that was making 20-pound ankle weights.
Oof.
Yeah. Well, even that isn't going to come close to 20 pounds as an iron boot, simply from a leverage perspective.
Yep.
So,
well,
I
agree. I've been doing, since I've been doing the dead stops again, since my arm's getting a lot better and I can get behind it.
That's good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, I trained yesterday. You hit bottom again, 507 like nothing, and then I set a set of rods 4 inches above that. I wanted to see what would happen when I pinned it. So I got under it again, blew the 507 up. My brother-in-law counted 10 on it.
That's awesome.
So I held it against the rods. It felt like nothing, all right? Didn't bother the shoulder. It's a little tight today, but I'm back using the Buffalo bar because I wanted to try it. So
nice.
But I will tell everybody this, with what I'm doing right now, because I'm kind of specializing on the legs, obviously, and we should have our new stone here tonight. I'm not sure we're going to – I know he was done just about with it. It's going to depend on if it's raining tonight or if it's tomorrow. In preparation for all that, I've been using the iron boots, and I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've been doing laying on my back with my tops of my hands underneath each buttock, lifting one leg up at a time, as high as I can go holding it. Now, I'm just using the iron boots, so they're 5 pounds a boot. Go to the other leg after the number of reps, done. Now, go to the next thing. I'm doing reverse, obviously, hamstring curl.
Now, are you doing those standing or hanging, or how are you doing them?
Laying on a bench, or laying on the ground, both of them,
mm-hmm.
The front leg and the hamstring work. Then I'm doing the old school thing where I'm holding on to a big tire and obviously working the hip structure, bringing the leg up as high as I can, standing. I'm doing a rotation of...
So more of a hip flexor type movement.
Yeah, because I'll tell you one thing, it builds the shit out of the hips. You'll put mass on your hips like you wouldn't believe doing them.
Yeah.
And I've been doing anywhere from 3 to 5 rounds, 10 reps minimum per leg. Obviously, with the hamstring, it's 10. But when you're doing one leg at a time, I'm doing essentially 20 when I'm on my back with the leg lifts, and the same thing with the hip work. Let me tell you something. If you do these things right, you're going to notice a very quick response to your legs, and I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. Number one, your legs, and you'll say, oh, only one workout. I'm telling you right now, you'll start seeing things with your legs after 3 workouts with these iron boots if you're doing those 3 movements I'm doing. Now, you can do whatever you want. Roger's got the courses, so you can go look. But for me, the best bang for the buck right now has been them, and I want to work that hip girdle. I want to build as much meat as I can on those hips. If you can believe that, I want more. Those things for my hamstrings do magic. I get to the point where if I'm on 5 rounds, I'm lucky with 10 pounds if I can take those things and curl them to the bottom of my ass. My legs are so – my hams are so pumped, I can hardly move them, all right?
It's got a completely different
feel
from doing good mornings or stiff-legged deadlifts.
Without a doubt. And here's the key thing. You want to become a better squatter, I'm telling you. Put some time into these. I did a course on our winner's circle called The Return of Iron Boots. Wait till you hear the shit I'm talking about there. That's about 27 minutes of just talking about iron boots.
Nice.
What I do. Yeah. A lot of people say, well, nobody will ever buy those. They'll never come back. Well, no one's promoted them, and no one's shown what you can do with them other than you.
I am the only person that's promoted them in the last 20 years.
Well, I'm promoting the shit out
of
them. I've sent them to you anyway. So we're going to do this on a big level. And as long as we're talking about building big legs.
You know what I've got here? You had mentioned the deadlift thing for building big legs.
Yep.
I'm actually a huge fan of variations on the deadlift.
Sure.
Because I don't do a lot of alternate grip competitive style deadlifts. And the reason is because I do so much Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
So my low back really gets hit. Okay. I've got some good spinal erectors. But when I want to do deadlifting for the purpose of building my legs and doing that deadlift movement, which I think is very important, three variations on the deadlift that I highly recommend, the barbell hack lift or hack squat it's sometimes called, the trap bar or shrug bar deadlift.
Yep.
And the Jefferson lift.
Oh, yeah.
The Jefferson lift, I found a really interesting set of photos from back in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You had guys doing very narrow grip Jefferson lifts.
Yeah.
And it was virtually impossible to find larger diameter plates then.
Yeah.
You know, Olympic plates were just absolutely unknown.
Yep.
So if you had even 15-inch diameter plates, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Olympic plates, depending on which brand you're getting, and yes, there are actually variations. We could get into that later. But they're approximately 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what some of these guys were doing is they would take kettlebell handles, put them on their deadlift bar.
Sure.
And that would extend it down so that they could get that extra range of motion using tiny plates. And I've tried that here with, you know, those old-fashioned kettlebell handles that I sell, you know, based on the old York design. And Weider had them too. So did Hollywood Healthways. All these companies had iron boots and kettlebell handles. It was a standard thing. And that Jefferson lift with those handles, especially done the way Grimmick recommended. Grimmick recommended it as a partial lift. So have the bar start at the knee.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. And
you've
got that very upright position. So if you're doing it for reps, as a partial lift in that upright position, a lot of people will say, oh, there's a lot of torsion on the back from that twisting with it because you're straddling it.
Sure.
Is a lot less than what you would think. And if you look up pictures of Bob Hirsch doing the Jefferson lift, he's the guy with the real long arms I told you guys about a couple of weeks ago. He did it as almost a lunge type movement. So that's yet a different sort of variation from the old Alan Calvert super strength type Jefferson lift. And if you're doing Olympic lifts or, you know, technically, I guess, even like CrossFit stuff, your deadlifting and your squats really are training lifts for your Olympic lifting because you're not doing them in competition anyway. But I would say that if you're a deadlifter and you've really smoked your low back, try some of these variations. You know, go with the trap bar one first because you're going
to. I think that's great. I think the trap bar is one of the best pieces of equipment ever invented. And I'll tell you another one I like too. I like using just big dumbbells, man. Use an oversized dumbbell. You know, brace yourself against something. You can put it up on 45-pound plates, or you can put big plates on that dumbbell. You know, stand straight up, deadlift it. You know, it's the way to go. I'm telling you, you could make. I believe this totally. You could make a steady diet on walking with huge things because they're going to build the shit out of your legs and your whole body. You could build the shit out of yourself with the trap bar deadlift, because we both know it hits you from head to toe, but it is a squat and a pull in the whole unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm telling you right now, if you really want to take a chance on yourself, grab the biggest dumbbell handle you can find, load it, stand straight up with it. And I think right there, you want to talk about building legs and power and explosion. You know, we've talked about a number of things today. I mean, we're talking about Roger's talking about cleaning it, front squatting it. Awesome. Back squat. Okay? Front squat. You know, you're talking about Jefferson lifts. And I don't know if we explained it. Roger told you about straddling it. Obviously, the bar is between your legs for anybody that's never done one. You have a hand out. Your one arm's in front, one arm's in the rear. It's a pretty nasty movement. And, man, oh, man. You want to talk? You know, Rod, this is one thing that I kind of grin all the time. And it's a word I won't use, but I'll have to say it to explain. What do you think's the word that's been used in the last 10 years that is just like, I'm like tone deaf to it now. What would you think it would be?
Are you talking about physical culture?
Well, that I'm getting tone deaf. No, it's that center they talk about all the time in your body.
Oh,
core.
Core. Yeah,
I can't stand. Jefferson lift. What does a Jefferson lift do to your midsection, man?
Oh, it's unbelievable because, you know, so much we're thinking of up and down and maybe side to side in the weight room.
Yep.
And, you know, especially if you're an athlete. Let's say you're playing football or you're wrestling or you're playing soccer, or maybe you're just backpacking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At what point are you only moving in linear grid-like directions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you start working that Jefferson lift, and you know, I hear women always talk about, I want to work my lower abs. I need to tighten up my low abs. I've got this little pooch in the front kind of thing. All right. You know, the Shaolin monks talk about working their dantian.
Yep.
And, like, guys, when you see the Shaolin monks that are on my website or some of the photos of those are actual Shaolin monks here in the United States. So when these guys talk about the dantian, they actually focus on that part of the body. And essentially what that means is they feel it's the – we'll call it the geographical center of the body, which is below the belly button but inside. A couple inches. So if you think of at what point is the geographical center? Well, if you do some Jefferson lifts, and please start off light with Jefferson lifts if you've never done them before, because it's going to feel like nothing the first time you do it. And do, you know, three sets of 10, something like that. You know, the standard Bill Pearl recommendation. Three sets of 10 with something fairly light, much lighter than what you feel like you should be doing. So you do it, then later on that night or the next morning, you will feel it in your dantian. And suddenly you will know where your dantian is. And you will say, Roger LaPointe and Eric Fiorillo, I hate you. I hate you like somebody who can no longer walk down the steps properly in the morning to go from the bedroom to the kitchen.
Yeah, that good old feeling.
Yeah, that is something that I strive for feeling the next morning. And, you know, maybe I'm some weird masochist, but that is what I go for.
Yeah.
And almost universally, when I've had guys do, there's a little routine I'll have them do at the end of a workout, and they'll say, you know, inevitably I hear the, you know, I feel like I've been going too heavy with my back squats. Can we do something else that's really going to hit my legs instead of back squats? I say, yeah, here you go. Okay. If you've got some kind of a leg press-ish, squat-ish machine, you start off with that. And, well, actually, no, you start off with your leg extensions. And you do 15 leg extensions with very, very light weight. The lightest weight you've got for your machine, if you're using a machine, or the empty iron boots, okay? Set of 15, nice and slow and controlled. Flex your legs through the entire range of motion, okay? And get them back as far as you can, so it's almost a leg curl. and extend it as far as you can. So you do 15 with that. Then you go to your leg press, and you do something moderate. You know, depending on your machine, maybe you're doing 225 pounds.
Yep.
Full range of motion, not explosive or anything like that, 10 reps. Then you go and do your hack squat or Jefferson lift for 5 reps. Now, if you don't have a leg press, if you look in the old manuals, and I've got a old Hollywood Healthways chart right here, because I seriously have stuff laid out in a semicircle in front of me with this big flow chart in front of me to refer to, because I actually get ready for these things. Well, Richard Klein of Hollywood is how he billed himself. This guy was put together in the 1940s and 50s. He had the Healthways or Hollywood Healthways company, and he had part of his barbell course included the straddle lift, sometimes called the Jefferson lift, and the leg press. The leg press as a barbell lift, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you've never done it, have two buddies around or something, I really don't recommend it. A barbell on your feet is, it's genuinely an opportunity for disaster.
Yep.
But today we also have trap bars, and you could go for doing 10 reps with your hack squat, then 10 reps with your Jefferson or 5 reps with a much heavier Jefferson lift, especially if you're doing it in that partial type movement where the bar starts at your knees, like Grimmick liked to do. And you go very heavy with that. And you do 3 sets of that. So it's 15 leg extensions, 10 hack squats, 5 Jefferson lifts is the way I do it, because I don't have any leg press thing here. If I don't feel like doing the Jefferson lift, I'll do the trap bar.
Yep.
And go very heavy with that. And very heavy might be, whatever you can do 5 reps with and no more. And if you can only get out 4 and you just can't get that 5th rep, that's fine.
Because we're stoked for time right now. That's okay. Why don't we finish off with, if you want to give just a sample routine, and we can always pick up more on this, and Jen, just give your information, I'll give you mine, and we'll talk offline if you would, please.
Okay. This routine I'm giving you is based on one from Abby Stockton, who was the trainer for many a Hollywood starlet, and Abby Stockton looked better than 99% of these CrossFit girls you see out there.
She was awesome, man. What elegance, man. Curves.
Super hot. Super. Yeah. I mean, there were Olympic lifters that were majorly after Pudgy Stockton. This girl had a set of legs.
Yeah.
So here's what I would – in a perfect world, I get one workout, whatever free weights are available, right?
Yep.
Snatches, as in full snatches. Then I would do heavier snatch pulls. Front squats. Leg extensions and leg curls. Leg curls hanging from a chin-up bar.
Yeah.
And it's going to decompress the spine. And then I'm going to do inner and outer thigh work, with the outer thigh work being a side leg swing kind of thing. And I believe you can see that in the blog on my site with Abby doing that leg swing.
Yep.
I've got some sciatica issues from the years when I was on the road. You know, if you guys have
sitting in the car
a lot, or you're driving a forklift or whatever, that leg swing with an empty iron boot, and it's not an explosive movement. It's slow and controlled. It is the best feel ever at the end of the workout, except maybe those hanging leg curls. That's another spinal decompression thing. But, you know, you get a lot of work on those legs there for that routine. And I love that workout right there. I've done that many, many times with set and rep and weight variations.
Yep.
So, you know, and look up pictures of Abby Stockton if you're into 1940s pinup girls. She was the real deal. And I don't know that she ever posed for pinups, but if you see her in workout photos or some of the many articles she did as the women's articles in Strength and Health magazine, she was a hottie.
Oh, yeah, she was.
I've got a lot of guys who have said, Raj, I want to get my wife in the gym training. How can I inspire her? I say, tell her to start with iron boots and Abby Stockton, and that's real world stuff right there.
Absolutely. And you got everything, Raj? There?
Yeah, that's
it. All right, just give out your info, and then we'll do mine.
Good deal. So I'm Roger LaPointe. The company is Atomic Athletic, and the site is atomicathletic.com. We've got the blog in the upper right-hand corner, which is pretty simple. It's B-L-O-G. Blog. And then on the lower left corner, you've got the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin email newsletter. And I've been doing that since 1999. That's about it.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong, www.docsprefer.com. We are sponsored by Hearts Collision here in Albany, New York. That's heartscollision.com, and you can reach them at 518-477-7937. Tell Lori or Alex that Eric sent you. Next, we got Sorenex Equipment. That's www.sorenex.com, or you can call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. Obviously, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's free. Get right to the point with it. You'll love it. It's free. Go out and check it out. It'll make you think, and hopefully it will make you some big gains in strength and power, too. The Winner's Circle is our next big product coming out. That's 12 modules of recorded audio by yours truly here. It starts right from my humble beginnings with a sand weight set cracked and leaking all over the floor with a wooden bench. And here we are today. So check that out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. There's going to be much more with that product and how we're going to set that up and get our million listeners involved. You're going to love it. It's going to be like nothing else out there. Also, too, come advertise with us. Come sponsor some shows. $300 a month. We're coming up, 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 up. We've got over 60,000 listeners already to the show. The response has been phenomenal. And we want to work for at least 25 years with everybody. We want to have great relationships. We want to grow this brand and this company. If you need branding done, Chris Bigelow does all the magic behind the scenes for us, can do that for you. That's an extra fee. But this is what we need to do. We need to survive. We need to make some money. We need to make you some money. And most of all, we need to get this strength out there. And we've been told by many people they feel this show is bringing it to the mainstream. I don't even care about that word anymore. If that's the case, we'll do it every way we can. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., click on sponsorship, take a look at it. The form's there. You can fill it out, put it on your charge card, and we'll work with you diligently to get whatever we can do for you and what you can do for us. So give us a try. Last but not least, I want to thank Chris Bigelow of Monster Development. call him at 800-687-1609. Tell him Eric sent you. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. We'd love that. All our reviews have been 5-star, and I thank everybody for that. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I think that's everything. Well, there's going to be a lot more stuff, too, you're going to see on both sites. That's all being done now. Let me think. I believe that's probably it as far as that goes. But as I always say, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, give them your time. You know, it's nice to look strong on the outside, but it's better to be stronger on the inside. Give back to people that need your help. I mean, it's not all about all of us. We're all together here. This is our legion. As David Whitley says, this is the Legion of Boom. That's what he calls this show. That's coming from quite an individual. Next, as my mom would say, don't be afraid to give somebody a smile or hello. That might be all they get, believe it or not, for that whole day. Walk around the world and look at some faces. I do believe that is the truth, and we don't like that at all. Nobody should feel that way. And last but not least, our favorite, go out and lift some big chunks of iron and take some stones and turn them into dust. And remember, we are world domination. 1 million listeners. Tell anybody and everybody, we've got people now international listening to the show. A lot of people in the UK especially. We welcome everybody in. We're only going to get bigger and better, stronger, faster, more steel, more body weight, all those good things. We aren't adhering to any of these other bullshit principles where you got to have 20 calories of this and that. You know what, man? Eat how you feel. Train how you feel. Lift big things, like Roger said today. Build big legs. This is what it's all about. But most of all, shape your mind. Become a winner with your mind, you know, and use that to help other people. Because, you know, you might just have the next big winner on your hands. It could be in business, could be in anything, could be in athletics, you know. It could be that next Olympic lifter, that next strongman. Maybe they just need you to turn them 180 degrees. Just think how great that would be. I can tell you because I've gotten emails, I've gotten phone calls from people that due to this show, you know, they'll tell me I hadn't lifted in 10 years. They started listening to the show. They're back lifting. That's what it's all about. So, Raj, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. As I've told everybody, Roger's the first guest. Hopefully, Roger and I will live another 25 years so we can laugh in 25 years and say, hey, you know what? I can still do this and I can still do that. Ha ha. That's what I'm looking at. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. Roger will be on next Tuesday. I've got a lot more shows till the end of the week. We're going to have some new people on next week you've never heard before. So stay tuned, tell a friend, and just keep spreading the iron word. Have a great week. Go out and lift and make a difference in the world. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.